Well, may the Lord bless our being together. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Your country is beautiful. Your people are beautiful. Your accent is beautiful. So I was sitting at the hiking center in Rathgormick and waiting for son Nevin and his and Nancy, and some local came by and said something like, lovely day now, isn't it? I just thought that was just so quaint. So it's like, God, I'd love to hear that again. The very next person comes by and says, lovely day now, isn't it? That was neat. So most of you are strangers to me, but that's okay. I'm glad we have something in common. And God has been working on me and just teaching me the importance of group. And I hope you get that too, that everybody needs a group. So you can guess maybe that I'm talking about John 15 today. I've been doing a study and a series of messages on knowing God, hearing God, seeing God, experiencing God by knowing Jesus Christ, hearing Jesus Christ, seeing Jesus Christ, looking at His Word, the words of Jesus. So I've been in the gospel now for years in a series of messages, and here we are today in John chapter 15. Where Jesus previously had been saying, I am the bread of life. I see that here. He said, I am the light of the world. He said, I am the door. I am the great shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, truth, and life. Today I want to talk about I am the vine. Not just the vine, but I am the true vine, he says in verse 1 of chapter of John 15. In verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. So we are the branches, and he is the true vine. And I was kind of looking at the countryside here. I knew I was going to be sharing this message with you. And I was trying to figure out, are there grapes in Ireland? Is there vineyard in Ireland? Do you know what we're talking about when we talk about vine? Are there grapes in Ireland? Oh, my. They're very small. Well, most grapes are small, but then we have raisins. You know about raisins, too, right? That's the dried up ones. Okay, so what do we know about the vines, grape vines? What do you know about them? Maybe you studied about them. Do you talk to me?
They need pruning.
They need pruning. What else?
Brutal pruning.
Okay.
So you're getting the idea that they do this, right?
What else? They need what pruning means.
They need training too.
They need training.
Okay, and they're supposed to go out this way. They go every which way.
And it is the nature of the branch to cling to. Cling to what? Anything. We are the branches and we have the nature to cling to. Cling to what? Anything. Some of us cling to each other. Some of us cling to money, work, pleasure, fun, stuff, things. But we are meant to cling to the vine, the trunk, let's read it here. The nature of the branch is to cling to, and so we need help with that, right? The grapevine. And I know this analogy kind of breaks down somewhere, right, as most analogies do. But is grapevines are a aggressive growing plant, but it's like an orchard. Like I saw some trees around here. I'm not sure what kind of trees they were. As fruit trees, apples maybe, but there's a lot of blossoms on them. They need pruning as well, but the grapes need excessive, brutal pruning, that's true. We are meant to cling to the vine. Now we have someone else here in verse 1. We have the husbandman. That is God the Father. And what does the farmer, the gardener is the farmer. The husbandman is the farmer. What does the farmer do? What's his job here? Okay, what's the farmer's job in the, as it relates to the fields? He takes care of the crop, right? He makes sure there's growth. He makes sure that his crop is healthy and that there's progress there. He doesn't want a field that isn't producing. The gardener. Fruitfulness is what he's looking for. And in verse 2, we have two types of branches. The branch that doesn't bear fruit and the one that does bear fruit. What does he do with the branch that doesn't bear fruit? Go ahead. He what? What does that mean? I thought so too. But the taking away and looking up that word, I made a very lovely discovery, actually. To take away, it doesn't say cut off. He says every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. He lifts it up. The word is iro. The Greek word is iro. To lift up. To move. Or to reposition. As it were. So every branch in me, he lifts it up. No, he doesn't cut it off, every branch in me. He lifts it up. He moves it. I have seen a branch hang down to the ground, connect here, and grow again. Well, actually, it grew along the ground. So it's connected to the ground. That branch isn't bearing fruit because it's touching the ground and it's drawing its nutrients from the dirt. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and that's not going to bear fruit, he takes away as he repositions it. And where does he put it? What else do we have in a vine here? And some of you know, and maybe I'll have to educate the rest of you. What if you've seen a vineyard or pictures of a vineyard, what do you see? This is just like the whiteboard of my church. Okay.
Trellis.
Okay. We have these guide wires here, also known as a trellis. And it's for these, since it's the nature of the branch to cling to, they'll very quickly cling to these guide wires here. And so every branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes up and puts it on the guide wires. And maybe we'll talk about the guide wires a little bit later. He taketh away. He repositions. The word is iro. Jesus was the one who would lift up. But when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God, because Jesus is God come in the flesh, right? Amen? Jesus came to show us the Father heart of God and the true nature of God. And Jesus was lifting up. He lifted her up by the hand. He lifted him up by the hand. He lifted himself up. And he lifts you up. He lifts me up. He repositions us. If we don't bear fruit. And then in verse 2 we have the branch that does bear fruit. What does he do with that one? We were talking about it. He does what to the branch that bears fruit? He prunes. He prunes. We are, by nature, the vine grows, branches out. Just lots of shoots. Lots of extensions. And maybe lots of distractions. Maybe. The ones that bear fruit, he purges it. It says in the King James, but it means to prune, to cut off. Did you ever get the feeling that God is cutting you down? bearing fruit, but is that branch as it should be? Why does he do it? To make it ugly? To make it hurt? To make it miserable? Punish it? Why does the gardener purge the branches here in Scripture, verse 2? So that it bears more fruit. My wife and I were at Mountain View Nursing Home in Virginia, earlier in our marriage, and where we lived there was a grapevine. And our venerable director, Owen Yoder, said, "Do you know how to prune grapes?" I said, "No." Well, he said, "This is how you do it." And he said something, and he said something else. And so I took the clippers. I don't remember what it was. It was a two-hand or a one-hand. But I began snipping. And I thought I did all right. And a day or two later, I saw that somebody had trashed the place. Actually, what he did, Owen Yoder, the director who knew what he was doing, he took the snippers to it and he cut it down. And I was semi-horrified because on the ground was all this stuff, all these branches that came from up here. He just really hacked away. I didn't know that's how you do it. And that was my job to clean up. I mean, I took all the branches and they were oozing and they were bleeding. I'm like, what in the world? Just to give you an idea of what God is doing to us. Anything that gets in the way of bearing fruit as we allow him to, he will cut off. So he's cutting away at us and we're saying, "Ouch, God, that's a little much." And he says, "I know, snip, snip." More goes on. "Not that, God." "It's okay, snip, snip." "But I worked hard." "It's all right. You can do without it." Snip, snip. There's a lot of potential here. Snip, snip. And it hurts. Do you ever get the feeling that your life is semi-trashed? Because God keeps cutting away. It's all right. Why is he doing it? So you bear more fruit, right? Anything that hinders fruit bearing. So he takes away or repositions those branches that are not bearing fruit and is pruning the branches that are bearing fruit so that they bear more fruit. Because we tend to cling to various things, various ideas, maybe even various doctrine or anything that is in the wrong direction. Why do we do that? Why do we tend to cling to things that don't really help us? Just in meditating and thinking on this, I get the feeling that I do this because I'm not sure that Jesus can be my all in all. Or maybe I'm not sure that I want him to be my all in all. Because if Jesus is my all in all, I will be so what? Boring? Nobody? I'll be so restricted. I'll be unpopular. I'll be a goody-goody. I'll be a pushover. I'll be a nobody. If Jesus truly is my all in all and I have him. I think sometimes people, not you, certainly not me, tend to be like that. I feel like I have to have something extra to help me out or prop me up. I'm not sure that Jesus can be my all in all. And maybe even I know he can, but I don't want him to be for whatever reason. God is the master gardener. And he is cutting away at us. And so I was blessed when I asked a few people about Kenny, or they offered this without me asking. They said, "Yes." I'm not sure if I told you this, Kenny, but yeah, I've seen Kenny grow a lot in the last year. And I'm like, well, praise God. You know, I'm a little sad that he didn't come here perfect, But praise God, the pruning session, you know, the pruning is going well, and God is cutting away some of those things, but it hurts a little sometimes, but it's okay. He loves us. He loves us. Looking at verse 4 and 5, and I'm going to move on here, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do," what?
Nothing.
Nothing. Do you believe that? Without me you can do nothing. The word abide, the Greek word is meno. Looks like meno, short for Mennonite. But it means to stay, to dwell, to endure, to remain, to tarry, to be faithful to. And if I abide, if I meno in the vine, I am guaranteed to bear fruit, and I am guaranteed to bear more fruit and much fruit. If I what? If I abide, if I meno. And if only Mennonites were known for that reason, because you guys are abiding in Christ. You are staying connected to Christ. I would to God that would be the reason we are known as Mennonites, because of our abiding. May it be so. So abiding in Christ and bearing fruit go together, rather than latching on to other things. Let me tell you something I learned in counseling. There are two longings of every individual. The longing for intimacy, longing for relationship, you know, connection, closeness, intimacy. And the longing for impact, that is to make a difference, that my life counts somehow. The two longings. Now, male and female, we both have them. It's just kind of interesting that intimacy is more on the female side of things, that connection, relationship, closeness, that's kind of dominant with women. And for us men, it's more of an impact. I want to make a difference. I want to, it starts with that, but I want my life to count. I want to make a difference in this world. Intimacy, impact, those are the two longings, and they're from God. And do you see the connection here? Abiding in me, staying attached to, being connected to Jesus Christ in relationship with, meets that longing for intimacy. And fruit bearing, that longing to have impact. Bearing fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Intimacy and impact. Not only does he put those longings in us, but he also meets those longings. If you abide, there is fruit, more fruit, much fruit. Because there is a world out there. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We have the world. This is the world. And maybe we'll turn it into a vase. We have the world looking. Let me see if I can get two eyes here. How do you do it? No, let's see here. My children are in the artist's line, I'm not. For this fruit. So this fruit is for who? Is it just for you? Well, maybe we should talk about what... That's later. I better stay with my notes here. Abiding in the vine, understanding that Jesus is our all in all, that connection, that relationship, and the fruit bearing. Where am I here? God is glorified when we bear much fruit. Oh, yes. Who is the fruit for? Who gets to pick this stuff? Is your fruit just for your brother next to you, your sister next to you? Is it just for the church here? No, it's for the world, because we're in the world, not of the world, but in the world. And so this fruit gets to be plucked, picked, enjoyed. It's meant to be enjoyed by the world. Everybody around you. And here they are. And we're not sure how they look there. if they're sad or but they're looking expectantly at people who are connected with Jesus Christ, whether they act like it or not. Now, I am talking about fruit in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Say it with me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, right? There's no law on that. There's no regulation on that. You're producing too much fruit. No. I heard you had a milk quota that's kind of leaving around here, but there's no quota on your fruit bearing, and it's not taxed. Keep it up. Keep bearing fruit. The world needs it. I need it. You need it. We need it from each other. And the word is the same. Karpos. The Greek word for fruit is karpos, the same in Galatians as it is in John 15. Fruit that, and it's, and here's the meaning of it. That which is plucked. That which is seized. That which is picked. So the fruit that we're bearing is supposed to be picked. This isn't about looking good. This isn't about a good-looking tree. This isn't about staying nice-looking. This is about being used and abused. It's about sharing. I mean, there's people that will take advantage of the fruit that we produce, the fruit of the Spirit. It's meant to be that way. But he says in verse 16... I think. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. It says in that verse that your fruit should be remain. Not that, don't touch me. A lot of us have at one time or other, or maybe will tend to be self-protective. Let me alone. Don't hurt me anymore. But when we're bearing fruit in the world, there are people that are going to take advantage of that. There are people that are going to take advantage of your love, your temperance, your meekness, your patience, your long-suffering. It's okay. Our fruit needs to keep remaining. That means ever producing, ever bearing, not, I'm finally learned the patience. You know, and I'm going to keep it. No, it's meant to be given over and over and over again rather than self-protective. So what's our focus? Good works? Fruit? Let your light shine? More fruit? Much fruit? No. What's our focus? Abiding in the vine. Staying connected to the vine. Knowing that Jesus is our all in all. Amen. I'm going to read verses 9 to 16. We'll close here real soon. This is speaking of intimacy, I do believe. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So there's two more things that come to light, the thing of obedience, number one. Keep my commandments. And he says, my commandments are not grievous. He says that in 1 John. And the privilege of asking and receiving, we find that in verse 7 and verse 16. Asking and receiving when we are abiding in the vine. So we have love and obedience that go together, and that's throughout the scripture here, or at least in the Gospel of John. Asking and receiving go together. There's a couple of things that I missed. One is in verse 3, where Jesus told them, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Keep in mind, he was speaking to his disciples in the upper room just before his passion, just before his crucifixion, and he's there with the 12. Actually, by the time John 15 comes along, Judas is gone and doing what he is doing. But what he's saying, you're clean, but he's not saying you're fully pruned. You're clean, you're getting there, you're on your way. And the pruning never stops. So I'm almost 60 years old and I'm finding out that there's still things that I'm working on that God puts his finger on. It's like, oh, I thought I learned that. No, he says it's okay. The pruning process goes on. It does every year for the vine, and it does every year for you and for me. What was the other one? Oh, it was verse 6. Those who don't abide. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And you know, I think we do that to ourselves. I believe we do that with ourselves. If we are not connected, if there comes a time when we're not connected to the vine, we're cutting ourselves off. It's not like Jesus or God is saying, "Oh, he's disconnected for the last 2 days. Chop, chop. Gone, done." No, it's not that way. When we become disconnected, when we disconnect ourselves for whatever reason, we're cast forth as a branch. It's like we're casting ourselves off. We do it to ourselves. Of course, we know a final judgment is coming, but we're the ones ultimately that make that decision to abide or not to abide. And I'm not trying to put us on a guilt trip and saying you need to read your Bible more, pray more, that kind of thing. I hear that way too much. I'm knowing by now, as I study the heart of God, that He is patient. He's long-suffering. You know, there's that part of God that he is judgment, and I'm sad for all the people who think that God is all judgment, because he's not all judgment. He is all truth. He is all judgment. That's correct. But he is all love too. God is love. And so we have mercy and grace 100%, but we also have truth and righteousness and holiness and judgment 100%. And I'm not sure how that works. I can't quite do that. But God is all love. He is all truth. And he knows when this is. And we're going to leave the judgment up to him, right? If we're abiding or if we are not. I think I've said everything that I wanted to say. And God bless us as we abide in the vine. Again, the focus isn't so much bearing fruit, letting my light shine. It is abiding in Christ and allowing Jesus to be my all in all. Could we kneel together in prayer this morning?
God, our Heavenly Father, thank you that you are love, thank you that you are true, righteous, holy, and you are merciful. And you are absolute, and I thank you that we have truth, and I thank you that we have guide wires. It is your word. Your word shows us how to live. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would keep us connected to you. We would understand what it is for you to be our all in all. Not these other things, not even these other people, but you are the one we look to. But I thank you for giving us a group. Thank you for giving us each other. Thank you, God, for giving us your Son, Jesus. We bless you, O Lord our God. Thank you for this group at Dunmore East Fellowship. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for friends and whole family. We pray for their salvation, God. Those of us we know and love, but don't have you. So yes, thank you for making us fruitful. It's a guarantee. We don't have to ask you that we would bear fruit. We just need to abide in you. But would you be showing us how to do that? And would you be gentle in your pruning of us, God? Thank you for your mercy. But help us to get it. Help us to understand. Help us to see
the light and what it is that you want to teach us. Help us to stay close to you. Don't let us become self-protective all our lives. Not even for a moment, God. You make us faithful in sharing the Father heart of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for time together today. Thank you for joy and rejoicing in you. Blessed be your name. We pray through Christ. Amen.